This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
I know you got something to say.
Right. Now that you
what
said
is
that,
it?
I got something to say. So from villages to privileges is finally
what
out.
Is that?
You can now pre-order your own sweatshirt, sweatpants, t-shirt, and a lot of the sizes are out of stock already, sold out.
Y'all
a little bit late. Mm-hmm. So try getting it before the actual sale goes up and I start shipping out orders. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm saying is that we got limited quantities.
Yeah, we do.
And I've been working on it for months. And also the holiday season is coming up. And what are you going to get your boo thing?
Right.
What are you going to get your
mother?
What
are you going to get them?
What are you going to get your girlfriend that's white and lives across the country?
Absolutely.
Well, let me tell you.
Absolutely.
You're going to get something from labyrinthapp.com. That's
Say it again. Where is it from?
Labyrinthapp.com.
Oh, my God.
And for my difficult dish listeners.
Oh, hold on.
I thought
you thought we were done?
A little promo
you thought we were done.
Code. We're not done. We're going to do a little promo code.
Right.
Type in difficult dish at checkout.
No dash.
Just difficult dish. And you'll get 15% off your whole order. 15. 15.
My God.
Should I increase it? No. We'll keep it at 15.
Yes, sir.
Add difficult dish at checkout. Mm-hmm. And you'll get 15% off. Oh, but get it before it gets sold out.
Sorry,
that's all
selling
I'm
out.
Saying.
One of my
all I'm
one
saying.
Of my clients tried getting me married to their daughter the other day.
Why'd you have to include that part? No, continue since you have so much more
no,
to
that's
say.
All I got to say.
Go ahead.
That's all I have to say. All right. Welcome back to our podcast, guys. Welcome back to Difficult Dish, a podcast where we talk about different South Asian narratives. My name is Mosh Noon.
I am Ahua. All right, so today we're talking about some of the privileges that we've learned to get used to recently, just because Mashun and I have grown up in not well-off families, but also not completely dirt poor. I don't want to, you know, make the assumption that we're like on the bottom of the whole class pyramid, whatever. But we didn't have that much money growing up, and it did cause us to take a lot of shortcuts growing up. So now that we're kind of experiencing the finer things in life because we moved out, we don't really know how to act because these are things that so many people take for granted and so many people just have normally every single day. But now that we're consuming it after 23 years of living, it feels so crazy to like experience it.
And I think it's important to talk about in like a broader sense in that, you know, just recognizing what you have, being humble, and it's like just learning about the different privileges and like status levels within the brown community. Like obviously we can go on and on about privilege in the like grander sense of things of the whole universe, but like at least in the brown community, having money and like having the things that we're gonna speak about from birth is like something that a lot of us don't experience. And it's, you know, it takes a lot of humility to recognize what you do have, but it's so important if you really want to grow and develop as a person. You know, there's so many things that we didn't have growing up that other kids did have. And like all of this sounds like so simple, but it's like the people who are a part of that group have no idea what it's like to not have it because they've never not had it.
And it really just makes you more grateful and makes you appreciate the little things in life. Because the things that we're going to be talking about in this episode aren't big things. It's not like, oh, we didn't have a car growing up and now we have a car. It's not that. We're talking about literally just buying berries now because we have that extra money. Or just turning on the AC because we're able to. And it's just the simple things and realizing that. And just being so much more grateful for the process of your life and where you are now, where you came from. And it also makes you more motivated to help out your family back home, help out your family here, and just allow them to also experience these little things that you're experiencing now.
So I guess we can just start talking about our points. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
You can go first. I'll go first.
Why not? So, like, I think when you first thought about this topic, I have so many things I can bring up. But I think one of them that, like, really is, like, really sensitive to me is, not sensitive, but, like, I hold it close, is, like, my neighborhood, my streets, like, growing up, they were just recently renovated. Like, they were just recently redone within the last few years. But for my whole childhood and for my whole time in high school, like, my streets and my neighborhood were so bad, bro. Like, they were, like, you would get flat tires from just driving because it was so rocky. There were just so many, just, like, there was so much glass. It was so dirty. It was just, like, so much, like, just shit on the road. And, like, you know, when, like, I've had, like, my bike tires top, you know, I've tripped on nothing just on the road. Like, if you're going too slow, like, you just trip because it's just, there's just so much, I'm just, like, up, like, the rocks. It's just rocks. You know, it's like, not even gravel. Like, it's not, like, smooth at all. It's very rough. And, like, back then, I used to longboard a lot, and it was such a struggle because, like, you know, when you go on, like, a sidewalk, and also keep in mind, I didn't have sidewalks. My neighborhood still doesn't have sidewalks. Like, I did not have sidewalks to walk on. We didn't have sidewalks to bike on, for our dogs to walk on. Imagine, like, all the dogs that had to walk on that shit because we didn't have sidewalks
so
in our
bad,
street.
So dangerous.
And it's, like, the longboarding would, like, you know how, like, you kick a couple times and, like, you can stay on the board for maybe, like, 15 seconds because the road is, like, smooth? Bro, you would kick, like, a couple times and, like, you would have to immediately start kicking again because the road is that rough. And, like, there were so many times where, like, bro, like, I've tripped on nothing. I've cut up my leg so much, like, just so much shit. And it's, like, that's such a small thing that kids who, like, have smooth, normal roads don't even recognize. Like, I used to love being outside. I used to love longboarding and riding my bike. But I was always just, literally, I was scared to. Like, I was scared to fall at some point. I had, like, even to this day, I have so many just marks on my body that's just from falling from back then. Like, I've bled so many times on that street. And it's really sad for, like, all the kids who just want to spend some time outside, but they're just getting hurt by just trying to play and do nothing, you know? And, like, we didn't have sidewalks or anything. And, yeah, and so when I moved out downtown, like, I love going on a walk now. Like, I love taking my skateboard out. And, like, I can skateboard on the sidewalk. There's sidewalks here, right? That's
crazy.
It's such a small thing, but it's such a big thing, like, having sidewalks. Like,
I feel like acknowledging these little things that no one understands besides the person that goes through it. And a lot of people don't even understand how big it is, even if they are little things. But it just makes you so introspective, and it makes you so much more mindful and grateful, like what I said. Just, like, thinking about what you have and what you didn't have before.
Why do you feel like we understand why it's important to be humble, but, like, how do you convince somebody who doesn't understand, like, the power in being humble? Like, what if they're just like, I don't need to know this kind of thing? Like, how do you get somebody out of that? Or, like, is that possible? Do they just kind of have to find, like, their own way out of it?
I think when people experience the worst time in their life, or when they experience a really big downfall,
yeah,
that's when they start gaining perspective, and that's when they start gaining the other side of things, you know, an idea of the other side of things. But I don't think it's a taught thing. I think it's something that people have to experience on their own, and you either have it or you don't. But it's a learned thing.
Kind of off topic, but still kind of in the same topic. A couple weeks ago, I had this kid that went to, like, a different high school than me, but we were in, like, a similar friend group. His family is, like, very racist. Like, he's very white, grew up in a very nice neighborhood. He said the N-word a lot, with the hard R. But, like, we were in, like, the gaming we played video games together. And like at that time, like, and even like today, like it's, that shit is said, and it's just like gaming culture, which is stupid. Horrible. But like they used to say it heavy, and like I never said anything because obviously when I was like 14, I didn't understand. Right. And like he texted me a couple weeks ago with like a long ass apology of like basically saying like, hey, like I'm not like that no more, and I know that I can never like revert the future, but like I'm doing everything in my ability to like grow from that, and like I want you to know that like I'm not like that anymore, and I haven't talked to this kid in years, kind of thing. So that just goes on to say, like, connecting to what I said before, it's like I guess it is something that people just gotta encounter on their own, right? Like it's something that they just gotta go through and figure out themselves.
Yeah, it's your own journey. Like right now I live in a nice apartment, you know, I have a lot of utilities in my apartment, and I'm paying a good amount, or a good amount that I can pay for by myself. Yeah. But the people that I'm surrounded by, I have a lot of Hispanic people in my community, and a lot of them are immigrants, and there's a lot of halal carts, there's a lot of Dominican shops around me, there's a lot of, you know, immigrant-oriented shops, and it's kind of low class or lower middle class, and you can tell that they don't earn a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I feel so privileged to be in a community like this, but it's also so humbling and so sad when I see people begging for money, or like, you know, just sitting on the side of the road because they have nothing else to do. And you know, I don't want to make it sound like I live in like a poor area or anything, but it just like really puts things into perspective when you move from a place that has more money, they're known to have more money in that community, and then you move from the suburbs into like the boroughs, and it just really like puts things into perspective, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I see a homeless guy every single day at the same spot, and I'm like crying, and then he's like usually the same person to give money to. But it's like these little things, once you start appreciating the little things in your life, like what we're talking about right now, it just makes you more giving, and it makes you understand your position in life and what your, like what your calling is, you know? Yeah. It just makes you want to help people more.
Exactly. And,
you know, use your resources in a better way.
Like building on top of that, like you saying the thing about the homeless guy, like, like another quick story. When I was like 15, me and my friends used to come downtown with like our cameras and just take pictures of stuff, and we saw this homeless guy, and like we talked to him for like 2 hours, and we took pictures with him, and it was like this whole like fun thing, like we're kids and we're like experiencing this thing. I see the same homeless guy every single day on my walk to work, and like he's always like yelling, and like he's always being a dick, and it's like I look at him and I'm just like, like, he's one of those figures in my life. And, like, I'll go up and talk to him one day and, like, tell him about, like, asking if he remembers me from 8 years ago. And, like, we make eye contact a lot because I see him every day. Like, not, like, I didn't mean that, like, figuratively. Like, and it's just crazy because I look at him and just his, like, embodiment reminds me of like being 15 and recognizing how far I've come and how unfortunate it is for a lot of people who are still stuck there, you know? And it's like that kind of stuff is what pushes me to go harder and to keep working.
One of the things that I've recently encountered now that I've moved out is the concept of like having heat just readily available. Like whenever I talk to my mom on the phone every single day, she tells me how she can't turn on the heat yet because it's not cold enough, even though it's like in the 50s now, or even the 40s at nighttime. So it's pretty cold. And it's colder in the house than outside sometimes. But she doesn't feel like she can turn on the heat now because it hasn't started snowing yet. And, like, there's no need to waste heat and, right, like, pay extra bills for just her and my dad at home.
Right.
Because I'm not there anymore. So it's crazy that, like, I also grew up with that mentality. Because even when we did turn on the heat, you know, it was hot. But we weren't allowed to put it up too high because that would increase the bill. And those are just, like, some of the things that we had to do to, like, you know, just reduce the bills and, like, just do things like that. And now that I'm in my apartment, I have heat. And they turned it on literally, I think, even before fall started. Like, it's so hot now. And now I have like the opposite where it's like so freaking hot, I can't sleep. And it's so crazy because I've never had that option of just having heat on, which it's crazy.
I'm the same, but like the opposite. Like, you know, that like Florida gets so hot in the summer and in the fall and in the spring and even in the winter. Even in the winter it's hot. and growing up, like, we only put the AC on like during the day when it was like at its hottest. And like the thing with Florida is like my AC was not strong enough and the Florida heat was too strong to where like the sun was stronger than my air conditioner. Like,
yeah, I remember you like my so, like
I dead. Like I stopped sleeping in my own room because it faces directly at the like yeah. at the sun, whereas my
that's
sister
why
has
windows were always closed.
Exactly. And like everybody's like you were always like, why do you work in the dark? If I open these windows, bro, I'm gonna be sweating my head off. Like it's mm-hmm. so bad. And I like the AC was just not strong enough, even if we did want to turn it on. Like, there was this one day in during COVID, like you remember this. Like, our AC was broken, and, like, it was just kept running, but, like, not cold. It was just blowing hot air. And our bill for that month was, like, $600, and my mom flipped out. And, like, we're good now. We're able to pay, like, a bill that's, like, that high. But I feel like she flipped out so much because, like, it just might have, like, just triggered, like, a time where, like, we couldn't pay that. Kind of thing. Like, she got so just heated from seeing that.
It's crazy, like, growing up in the family so we did, because that just reminds me of another story where I had an orthodontist appointment when I had braces or when I was taking it off, and there was a copay for that visit of like $40.
Yeah,
but it wasn't mentioned anywhere because we usually have our insurance cover everything. And my mom like freaked out and she flipped out at the receptionist, and at that time I was like 16, so mm-hmm. I was really embarrassed and I was like, what the hell, why is she acting like that over $40? But in that time we were in like a really bad financial spot, so that was a lot for you know, everything that we were going through. So it's just crazy how, like, you know, now if that happened to us, like, I can just easily pay for the $40, it's fine. Like, I wouldn't make a big deal out of it. But it's crazy how, like, when you're in that position back then, you were like forced to be on survival mode. It's just, like, those are things you grew up with, you know? Like, you never even had the option of, like, being at peace or, like, just doing things easily because that's not what you grew up with.
And it's also just, like, so, like, disheartening just knowing that there are kids like us who, like, just, they don't get this, right? Like, they don't get the fear of not being able to pay for something. And, like, stronger than that, just, like, how angry we've seen our parents get from high bills, from us doing something that could waste money. And like, we get mad at them because all we see is anger, but like, we're too young to understand where that anger is coming from. And now that we're older, like, we both got our own places, and like, now, like, sometimes even like when like I leave the AC on when I go home, or when I leave the house and I come home, I'm always like, damn, I left the AC on. And then I'll just like think for a second, I'm like, this is what my mom used to get really upset with, you know, like, this is what she used to get, like, really, really upset with. Like, when I leave, like, the water on for too long, like, this one time I was, like, at my laptop, but I kept the faucet on in my sink just to, like, water my plant, and I kept it on for a few minutes, and I went.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Back and I was like, oh shit. I was like, yo, my mom would have, like, beat me if I did this.
Yeah, I still get mad over things like that, too. Like, Mashun knows I am very particular about certain things, and I'm, like, I hate being wasteful. My mom always taught me never to waste not even, like, a grain of rice, because that can feed a bird, you know? Like, it'll feed a whole family of birds. And so I'm very, like, particular about certain things, and I don't, like, just, like, wasting things. Wasting money, wasting time, wasting water. I don't leave the, just, like, anything running for no reason, the lights, you know? And I think that type of situation, what we grew up in, is what taught us to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's crazy? Like, my dad sometimes, like, this is TMI, he doesn't flush.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's trying to not get the bill up high.
Yeah. Like, I used to do the same thing.
Like, you know how crazy it is to think like that? And now I'm just able to flush whenever.
And I think, like, what's the crazy part is, like, that one flush doesn't make much of a difference to your water bill.
Right.
Well, it's a few, like, a cent or two. But it's, like, just the action of it and just, like, the thought that, like, doing this action is going to make me pay more money. If I cannot do this action, I'm not going to do it, kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. like no matter what, it could be, like, a cent or it can be, like, $100. Like, no matter what it is, like, they're trying their hardest to avoid having to spend more money because it's just so fearful.
But it's crazy, like, going back to this, how they're so frugal with doing basic necessity things like that, not mm-hmm. flushing, not buying, like, you know, something, a better quality, like better toilet paper mm-hmm. because they want to get the cheaper one. But it's also like, my parents gave me everything that I wanted.
Yeah.
Like, my parents literally always bought, like, the best foods for me, all the best snacks. They provided, like, a lot for me where I didn't have to really worry. They always bought, like, extra clothing for me from Macy's whenever they went. And I never asked for any of the things they got me, but they got it for me without even complaining, even though they weren't making that much money.
And I think that's, like, the grander message in this is, like, mm-hmm. your parents would do anything for you, you know, like, literally, like, no matter how hurtful it is for them, like, how, like, no matter how big of a hole it puts them in, like,
mm-hmm.
making their kids happy is right. all that matters.
Yeah, so yesterday I went to Anik Khan's book signing in the city, and he was talking about his whole experience with being an immigrant and his dad being an immigrant, his parents being an immigrant. And I really resonated with the fact that his dad's a taxi driver. And it's crazy how there's so many immigrant stories of people, of the parents suffering and struggling, but literally doing everything that they can to provide for their kids. And I was talking to my other friend, and he was telling me how his dad came to the Americas without really anything, which is very common.
Mm-hmm.
And their whole identity is based on their kids. Like, they feel like they're not worthy without their kids. Which is crazy because, like, we're taught to have our own identity without, you know, someone else attached to it. But it's like they just left their home. They left everything, their home country, to come here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if we were asked to do that, I don't think I'd be able to just leave everything and start a whole new life in a whole different country.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. So, what I'm saying is just, like, these little things that we're getting used to now, I really hope that it doesn't become, like, a normalized thing in our lives, because it really wasn't before. And now that we're experiencing it more on, like, a daily basis, I hope that our past still remains with us. And I hope this just, like, helps us appreciate life more.
I think, I mean, like, you know, I can't speak for you, but I know for myself, like, I'm always going to stay true to myself. You know, like, I'm always going to go get a McChicken whenever I want one. Like, I'm always gonna go, like,
you love your McChickens,
you know, like, I'm never gonna forget my roots. And I think that's just me, you know, that's not even something I second guess. Like, I'll sit outside my balcony, I'll just, like, be looking outside. Like, my balcony faces the highway that I used to drive on to go to work every day, kind of thing. So I'm just look out, and, like, that's all I think about.
It's crazy, like, my fire escape and the window that I sit on every night, it faces the hospital that I was born in.
Yeah.
So it's, like, literally full circle to see,
you can't,
like,
escape
where I grew up, where I moved to have a better life, and then where I came back to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's me in a nutshell. I mean, I'm always thinking about, like, how far I've come. And even if I lose sight of it sometimes, like, it's not going nowhere. Like, it's always there. So, as you guys know, we post on our Instagram the topic that we're going to be speaking about in our future episode, just to get some insight from you guys. And if you're not following us on Instagram or Disney, our Instagram is @difficultish. One more time.
You heard. @difficultish.
One more time. Okay. So yeah, we just said, you know, what are some of your guys' little privileges? We want to know what it is that you guys also are recognizing now. And we got a good amount of responses, and we'll go through some real quick. One of them is buying good quality clothing. Absolutely. I mean, as a boy with no type of money, I was going up to Goodwill all the time and buying thrifted clothing. And my mom would always get upset with me because, like, you know, she would buy me good clothing if I really wanted it. But she always, like, tried not to because it is expensive. So I spent a lot of my time at Goodwill. And I mean, like, even nowadays, I still go to Goodwill, but in a different sense. But, like, now, like, It is crazy to think that, you know, I can go buy something nice right now if I wanted. Like, I don't have to go get something secondhand. Like, I can go buy, like, a nice tailored suit right now if I really wanted one. Or, like, you know.
All right, big guy.
Listen. But, like, for my prom, like, I had to go to the sales section. Like, I had to go to Goodwill to try to find trousers. Like, my dress shoes were, like, $18 from, like, Marshalls and shit. Like.
Yeah. My parents love, and all, a lot of brown parents, they love Macy's so much because mm-hmm. of the coupons and the discounts, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like we had bad quality clothing, but we always had to wait for the sales. And we also shopped a lot at, like, Forever 21 and mm-hmm. those fast fashion type of stores.
We don't do that no more.
No, we don't do that no more.
We're ethical now.
My dad loves Gap and Old Navy and Banana Republic, you know, dad's.
And Gucci.
So.
Your
no,
dad loves.
He doesn't like. No,
dad,
he doesn't.
Your dad loves Gucci.
My dad does not have one single Gucci thing. I don't
He's
know
about to.
I'm
gonna get him a Gucci bucket hat.
My dad loves his black Air Forces.
I'm gonna get him a Gucci bucket hat and some Gucci flip flops.
My dad is so cute. He has these blue jeans with stars on them.
I do too. I'm gonna match with him. Well, they're not stars. They're just white dots that look like stars.
So why'd you lie?
They're the same thing.
No, continue. But anyways. He wears that on the 4th of July to be really festive. But he also wears that to work. So, you know, there's no in between. So anyways, so buying good quality clothing is so crazy to me because I was so used to just waiting on the coupons and just using, you know, my $5 off at Macy's.
Yes, sir.
But now I can actually buy good quality clothing for a higher price, even though I don't do that.
Right,
I don't
you
really
still
like
don't.
Money.
Yeah.
I don't do that. Like I said, I don't like
you
spending money.
You hate
on things.
Spending money.
Yeah, as I said, I'm very frugal. I don't like spending money.
Yeah.
It's just what I grew up with. I don't know how to do self-care with money.
So
if it's something free, I'm on board.
I don't know why, like, even when I didn't have money, I love spending money. But, like,
yeah,
I love
no,
spending
like
money
that.
On, like, the experience. Like, I'll spend, like, money on a good coffee, on, like, a nice dinner. I'll leave with $0 in my bank account, but I ain't care.
It's crazy, because, like, I feel so guilty when I spend money. I get my nails done, like, once a year. I'm crying. I'm crying at the nail salon. Tell me why $70 is out of my pocket right away for nails. I wanted to get one gem on my nails. Tell me why it's like $20 extra.
What's wrong with you? Come
I'll
on.
Cry.
Come
I'll
on.
Cry.
I'll get them done for you.
No, come on. But anyways.
All right. The last one is tipping well, covering meals for friends, fresh fruit when it's not on sale. Yes, sir. I don't know how people. I mean, I was about to say, I don't know how people don't tip. And then I just remembered I used to not tip when I was a kid because I didn't have money to tip. You know,
it's crazy because, like, I tipped my halal guy the other day. I tipped him $2, right? Because he gave me 2 fire halal meals.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom got so mad at me.
Really?
She was like, you're not even supposed to tip. Or, like, if you do, just give $1. And, like, I don't even blame her just because, like, she's used to not having money, extra money to just tip.
Yeah.
And also, the frugalness that we grew up with, like, it's not regular to just tip a lot of money, you know? Now it's, like, regular for us to tip, like, 20%, 15%, 25%, whatever. But it's so weird, you know? It's so weird to them.
I remember this one time where I went to Ale House with, like, 8 of my friends. And all of us got, like, $10 worth of food, and I swear to God, not a single person tipped, and like everybody was like proud of it, and I'm not even kidding, I had one single dollar in my pocket. That's all the money I had left.
I feel so bad if I leave a restaurant without giving enough money back.
And I left that $1 for this man, and it was at least like $100+ of food that he waited.
Oh my God.
And that's all I had. And I literally left the rest of my money, and like I'll never forget that. I felt just so shitty that day, and mm-hmm. and yeah. So it's amazing that we can freely tip now. You know,
yeah.
Whenever
such a little privilege that we never thought about.
Yeah, and like it's so fast. It's so nice giving, like, you know, an Uber Eats driver like just like a $10 bill or a $20 yeah. bill or something. Like I love it. Whenever I have one on me, like I always try to give it out. So.
Yeah. So do you have any 10-second advice?
Come on. You can't just hit me with
Think
that.
Think about it. Come on. We know it's coming.
Don't be scared to look dumb.
True. You know?
Don't be scared to send 1,000 cold emails to people.
True.
Don't be scared to go up to somebody random on the street and tell them that you like their sweater.
Talk your shit.
Because this is all just gonna build your confidence. It's gonna make you better in the long term. You know, it's all these little like rejections and all these little like side eyes that just get you immune to it, and you recognize that that does nothing. You know, it's not as bad as you really think it is. And then like, you know, I went out with one of my cousins who came down from Canada. And, like, I spent the whole night just complimenting people's sweaters. That was my thing. I just complimented everybody's sweater. I complimented this one guy's hat, and he said, thank you. And then I saw him again downstairs, and I was like, I still like your hat.
His hat did not change.
And just, you know, like, all these little, like, experiences just build your confidence, and you'll be surprised to where it leads you a couple years down the line.
Yeah, I think it's so common to live in fear and have fear control your life. And I'm so bad at this. I'm actually trying to get better. But whenever I'm thinking something, especially like compliments, I want to compliment them. But like something always stops me, you know, like what if they don't hear
me?
Like yesterday, when I went with my friend to the city to go to the book signing, my friend complimented someone on the street, like her pants or something. And the girl didn't hear her. So it's like embarrassing, right? But it's like,
you say it again.
Who gives a shit?
That's the fun part. You're like, yo, you hear me?
Yeah, like literally today I was in my Zoom class and I complimented my friend's background. I was like, oh, you got the same office background again, huh? And no one heard me. There was 4 people in the group. No one heard me. And I'm like, yo, you heard me? So I said it again.
And it gets to a point where like you have fun with it. Like you just have fun complimenting people. Like I love doing laughing. It though. Even if you don't like it. You know, even if you're lying, just say it to somebody.
Like, and yo, it makes their day so much better too.
Exactly.
So anyway, I hope you guys liked today. I hope you fellas liked our episode today. I'm still trying my best to not say guys.
You individuals liked our
You
podcast.
Individuals liked the podcast. I hope you liked my new drop.
She I dropped. Hope. And I don't, I mean, I don't, she dropped. I mean, I don't know, but like somebody else might be dropping soon. I don't know.
Oh, we got a little mushroom when you're discount sorry, promo code soon.
I'm sorry.
Oh, we're not ready.
All right, y'all. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I hope y'all liked our episode. Please leave a
review on Apple Podcasts. We love them. We're 5 stars straight so far. Keep it up. Yep. We love it. Download our podcast on Spotify.
Yeah, and actually write a review, because reading your reviews actually makes me feel like I'm doing something good in the world. And it makes me feel like I found my calling.
No, so listen, if you're listening right now, like, please, like, actually, like, we're not just saying to say this, like, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We, not only do we, like, that's our favorite thing to read, but, like, it really does actually really help us.
Yeah. And also, like, so many people reach out to us saying that we're their therapy session and that it helps their mindset, and our podcast has helped them so much, and we're so grateful for that. But can you imagine this podcast helping other people to many different lengths, and like just really being that South Asian representation that we've always wanted? So just leave that review. You don't even have to put your name. Just put a fake name and tell your friends about us.
Taco Bell Billy.
Taco what?
Taco Bell Billy.
Why was that your first thought?
But anyway, all right. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon.
We love you. I love this. Bye.